So there's the tabernacle, and there's this important item of furniture called the Ark of the Covenant.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. There can be no doubt that David committed some great sins, probably much worse than anything most of us have done. Yet, David is called a man after God's own heart. How can that be? This evening, Pastor Brian Grant brings the second part of his message explaining that, in spite of the wreckage his sin brought to his life, David became one of God's great champions because he was in tune with God and his purposes. Here now is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of his message, Living in Sync with God.
You would think that they would want to make sure they always had the Ark with them. But amazingly, the Ark of the Covenant had been captured. In fact, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1, just for me to make sure you see it for yourself. This Ark was clearly critical if God was going to visit with them and speak to them from the mercy seat above the Ark of the Covenant. You would think you would want to make sure you had the Ark of the Covenant with you all the time, correct? So what are we seeing here in 2 Samuel chapter 6? 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm just reading from verse 1 to 5. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. David arose and went with all these 30,000 people. Look at what their purpose. They who were with him from Baal, Judah, to bring up from there the ark. They're going to bring up the Ark of the Covenant, whose name is called by the name, the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So this is important. They're going to look for it. So they set the ark of a god on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanied the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. Please don't give your children these names. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps and string instruments, on tambourines, and so on and so forth. Amen. The Ark of the Covenant had been captured by the Philistines, and after it had caused them havoc, they brought it back. All right? They brought it back. And it had been left at Abinadab's house. Now, how important is the Ark of the Covenant? Very high priority. Who's going to speak to them from? Can you imagine? The Ark was gone. By the way, how long do you think the Ark was gone? 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 2 tells us, we're not going to turn there, but it tells us that at that time when 1 Samuel 7 2, it says that it had been already at Abinadab's house for 20 years. At that time, Saul was not even the king, all right? So it was at Abinadab's house before Saul became king. And Saul reigned for how long? 40 years. And he's now dead. And the ark is still at Abinadab's house. The scholars tell us that it was at Abinadab's house somewhere between 70 to 100 years. Can you imagine that? This ark that is so important. So they still have the tabernacle. But where they went through the motions, the power was gone. But the priests are still serving in the tabernacle 70 to 100 years. The ark is gone. The ark is not even far, but nobody's making an effort to get it. They were going through the motions. Do you know there are a lot of churches where they're going through the motions? It was either when we were in Denmark or Sweden. I was speaking to a pastor there, and he was proud to let me know, I don't believe Jesus is God. In fact, he said, very few of us pastors here believe that. You see, we love the words of Jesus, and so we use the words of Jesus to minister to the flock. But we don't talk about his dying for our sin because we don't believe he really was God. They were just going through the motions. The church is like that. They're just going through the motions. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody this morning. You're part of a church. They're just going through the motions. The Spirit of God is left. You need to leave. You need to, if you're in a place that the Spirit of God has some of the largest denominations in the world, the Spirit of God has left. They kicked him out. They left him at Abinadab's house. So here we are. David recognized he was in sync with God's pattern for worship. This is big. 100 years. The other king, the prophet Samuel, nobody had done anything about bringing back the ark. And David, this man of God, this man after God's own heart, one of his first items of business, not long after he became king, he went to get the ark. Now, you see, the problem with this story is usually when we bring up the story, the only thing we want to talk about is the mistake he made. You know what the mistake he made? We focus on the mistake, but we miss the big picture. The big picture is that David went to get the ark because he recognized the importance of having the presence of God in the house. By the way, it's okay to get excited. It's okay to make a few mistakes. Young people, I want you to know that this, as far as our elders here are concerned, if you make a few mistakes because of your excitement and your desire to serve the Lord, it's okay. We can sit down and we can talk and we can help you get back on track. And listen, David, eventually, after he had made the mistake, he got it right. And he saw the second time, actually, in 1 Chronicles, it tells you what happened. It didn't look like he knew exactly what he was supposed to do. But when he finally got it, he came and did the right thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's get it right. Amen. But here's the thing I want to bring to your attention. In the Old Testament, God had a pattern. Amen. And he wanted to have the ark. The ark of the covenant was important if we're going to have the presence of God. But in the New Testament, he also has a pattern. Oh, I'm not meddling now. I'm going to say something that you may be mad about, but it's in the book. Put on the screen, if you would, for us, please, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Verse 19 and 20. And here is how it reads. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And here's the part I want you to emphasize. For what? Read it for me. For what? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. There is something about believers gathering together. Amen. That makes God smile. Put up Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 for me, please, on the screen. It says here, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not what? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching." You know, I'm well aware that some who may be watching us this morning have difficulty finding a place of worship where the Lord is honored, where the Word of God is preached, and the Spirit of God is we recognize the power of the Spirit of God. And so you're connecting with us, and we're glad about that, and we're doing what we can. You know, we're still encouraging you to try and find a place of worship, but we're doing all we can to make sure there's two-way fellowship, because it's good to be a part of the stream, But my friend, if you are there and you're not a part of a church, you can't find one, go keep looking. But until you do, don't just watch the stream. Take advantage of the Bible studies. Take advantage of opportunities where you can engage with other Christians and you can be a part of encouraging other Christians. Amen? But listen, I'm well aware that because of COVID, many Christians have adopted a new pattern. You see, God has a pattern, but we have adopted a new pattern. Oh, this new pattern, I can wear any pajamas I have. I get myself a nice cup of coffee, and if I really want to go crazy, I may even make some pancakes and eggs to eat along with the service. Amen. Got my big pot of coffee, and then I can just kick back and watch the service, and I feel I have done what God wants me to do, and the answer is you have not. I want to speak to my GCA brothers and sisters who are enjoying this new COVID style. I want to remind you, my brothers and sisters, that we don't want to be like the children of Israel who had a tabernacle without the ark. We want to make sure we're doing it God's way. And God's way for worship is that we gather together in His name. Amen. We come together to worship because there is some benefit. You are benefiting me and I am benefiting you. By the way, can I leave you with a practical thought? For all those of you who are going to say, oh, Pastor, you're just making up noise. Do you realize that if this new COVID worship becomes the norm, the Church of Jesus Christ is dead? Because you said, oh, we will still be able to stream. No, we won't be able to stream because the people who are to do the stream will also be there in their pajamas watching this. But they're not watching anything because the streamers are there at home too. Just sit and chill. All the foot soldiers, the work of Christ is carried on by foot soldiers who come together in the huddle. Amen. We come together in the huddle. We get excited together and we go out to work for Jesus. And I want to tell you, if we don't keep coming together, if the church loses its foot soldiers, who's it going to go into the neighborhood and spread the gospel? Who's going to man all the ministries to the children? My brother and sister, it is time to come back home. Might I just say it to you then, my brother and sister? Please, I hope you still love me. I would really pray, I'm praying as I prepare this message, that every member of GCA will be back here by Easter Sunday. Amen. I am praying that every member of this church will be here by Easter Sunday. After all, we're at the supermarket, the kids are at school, we're at the games. Everything is open. So unless there's a new surge, if there's a new surge, I can understand. But as long as things continue where they are, let us by God's grace seek to live in sync with God's pattern. Amen. David was in sync with God's purpose for his life. He was in sync with God's pattern for worship. But I know somebody's watching or somebody's here, and you say, Pastor, I agree with all of what you have said so far. But Pastor, when are you going to talk about David's sin? Pastor, that's what we're here. We want to know about David's sin. Because I know God could not tolerate sin. So it's nice for you to tell us all this other stuff. But what about his sin? Well, God didn't tolerate sin. David sinned. But here's the thing. God had already made provision for vile sinners to become holy. And David took advantage of God's provision to make a vile sinner holy. So put this in your notes. Third and final, we must live in sync with God's provision for holiness. We must live in sync with God's provision for holiness. David was a great sinner, but he had a great Savior. Hallelujah. And his great Savior made him a holy saint. Oh, my brothers and sisters, don't leave here forgetting that, because sometimes we keep talking about David's sin and keep forgetting that David became a holy what? A holy saint. So how do we become holy saints like David became? Write this down. We must confess and forsake our sins. Oh, I remember when I was at, you know, in some of the places we've gone to, we've seen people doing penance, and they climb half a mile of stairs in the sun, and they have to say a prayer on every step in order to get holiness. No, no, no. We don't have to go through all that drama to get God's holiness. We must confess and forsake our sin. You see, after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband murdered, David struggled with guilt for a long time. Because for a long time, he refused to confess his sin to God. Let's see how he puts it in Psalm 32. If you'd put that on the screen for us. Psalm 32, verse 3 to 5. Here's what David says. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long, day and night. Your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confess all my sins to you and stop trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. And David said, all my guilt is gone. Hallelujah, amen. All my guilt is gone. Put this in your notes. Unconfessing takes a heavy toll. But confession removes the guilt of our sin. Confession removes the guilt of our sin. Turn to Psalm 103. I just have a couple more scriptures this year before I sit down. Psalm 103, a well-known passage of scripture. Psalm 103. I'm going to read just a few verses, verse 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. So that your youth is renewed like an eagle. Verse number 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I'm so glad for verse 12. Don't you love verse 12? Don't you love verse 12? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. David, the adulterer and murderer, confessed his sin to God, and he forsook his sin, and God made him holy. And my friend, I want you to know that no matter how stinky your sins might be, no matter what you have done, hallelujah, for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I want you to know today that the God who removed David's sin as far as the east is from the west, so far, he's willing to do the same thing for you. Amen. Amen. So one final scripture. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. You're going to look, have to find that. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you. How many trespasses? Don't you like that word, all? Yeah. Having forgiven you all trespasses. And he ain't measuring them to see whose was worse than the other. By the way, part of the reason we have the attitude we have to David, you know, is we forget we did have some sins, but ours was small. But what he did was big. The only problem is God is so holy that every sin is big. You didn't do a small sin. It was just as big as David's. Because in the holiness of God, everything is a flagrant. Oh, let me get wound up again. Verse 14. Having wiped, I like this. He wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He wiped it out. He has wiped out every record that was against us. Hallelujah. Back in my days in school, the teacher had a blackboard. Anybody know about blackboard and chalk? You may have to tell your grandchildren, tell my grandchildren what is chalk and what blackboard is. But we had blackboard and chalk. So the teacher would sometimes ask some of the kids to come up and write, and some were good writers. I never volunteered because I know they wouldn't decipher my hieroglyphics. So, but some people's writing was not so good, but they would still volunteer. They'd make all sorts of mistakes. But the teacher had an eraser. And after they made their mistakes, the teacher would come and just wipe it out. There was not even a trace. The chalk was gone. That's what the blood of Jesus has done. The blood of Jesus has erased it. Every trace of my sin is gone. Every trace of David's sin is gone. It was covered. He has removed. He has wiped out everything that was against him. This God has wiped it out. So you can put this in your notes. God regarded David as a man after his own heart, not only because David did his will, but because the sin issue that we have been so worried about, because God wiped away the record of David's sin. The record was wiped out. And as a result, David, God said, this is a man after my own heart. He does my will.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.